10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Eagle Houston, we read you now. You're a go for PDI. Over.
Roger, understand.
We're go. Same type. We're go. 60 seconds.
Lights on. 40 feet down, 2.5. Picking up some dust. 30 feet, 2.5 down. Straight shadow. 4 forward. 4 forward, drifting to the right a little. 1.5.
30 seconds.
Forward, just. Okay. Contact light. Okay, engine stop. ACA at a descent. Auto control, both auto descent, engine command override off. Engine arm off. 413 is in.
We copy you down, Eagle.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. I'm at the foot of the ladder. I'm going to step off the land now. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
You have just heard the voice of the first man to walk on the moon, Neil A. Armstrong. A few minutes later, he was joined by Edwin E. Aldrin, Jr., his companion in space. They have done what men have dreamed about for centuries. They, along with their fellow astronaut, Michael Collins, began their journey on July 16th when their spaceship, Apollo 11, was launched from Cape Kennedy, Florida. However, it was back on May 25th, 1961, that President Kennedy decided to ask Congress for a program to send a man to the moon.
Space is open to us now, and our eagerness to share its meaning is not governed by the efforts of others. We go into space because whatever mankind must undertake, free men must fully share. I therefore ask the Congress, above and beyond the increases I have earlier requested for space activities, to provide the funds which are needed to meet the following national goals. First, I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal, before this decade is out, of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the Earth. No single space project in this period will be more impressive to mankind or more important for the long-range exploration of space, and none will be so difficult or expensive to accomplish.
But did this journey really begin then, or must we go back still further, not 10 or 20 years, or even 100 years ago, but perhaps 6,000 years ago, when the first civilizations were growing in the Middle East? The lonely shepherds watching their flocks in the clear Babylonian nights must have gazed long at the heavens and traced out the constellations such as Gemini, Taurus, and Orion. The sun, the moon, the planets, and the stars became strongly integrated with the religious life of the Babylonians. In fact, the first astronomers were the priests who watched the skies fervently and made notes on their clay tablets. Since life was so dependent on the sunshine and rain, every movement or change in the sky was noted as a sign that foretold the future on Earth. No battles were fought, no journey was undertaken, no marriage was performed before the skies were consulted. An eclipse was considered an evil omen.
Look! There is a shadow creeping across the sun! A disaster will befall us!
A famine! We must warn the king!
But at the sign of a ring around a new moon...
Look! Look! It is the sign that a new prince will be born to our ruler!
Through the centuries, the Babylonians learned a good deal about the heavens. Using their tables of lunar motion, they were able to predict fairly accurately when an eclipse would take place. They began to measure time by observing the phases of the moon. They followed a lunar month, beginning a new month every 29 or 30 days with the first appearance of the new moon. The year was divided into 12 lunar months, totaling 354 days. The solar year, a complete cycle of the four seasons, was determined to be 365 1/4 days. At certain intervals, an extra month was added to balance both the solar and the lunar year. But the Babylonians, like the ancient Hindus of India and the Mayas of Mexico, believed that the earth was flat and covered over by the dome of heaven, across which the planets and stars moved. The heavenly bodies became a part of their mythology or religion, and astrology, the art of telling the future by the stars, had its beginnings. It is still with us today. These Babylonian astrologers were particularly interested in the constellations that marked the ecliptic, the yearly eastward path followed by the sun. The 12 constellations in the ecliptic are called the signs of the zodiac. They are Sagittarius, the archer, Capricornus, the sea goat, Aquarius, the water carrier, Pisces, the fishes, Aries, the ram, Taurus, the bull, Gemini, the twins, Cancer, the crab, Leo, the lion, Virgo, the virgin, Libra, the scales, Scorpius, the scorpion. Each sign stands for a particular month of the year, but as the constellations move approximately one space each 2,000 years, the months on the astrology charts do not correspond with the positions of the constellations today. Though much of the work of the Babylonian astronomers dealt with superstitions and myths, they must still be given credit for launching the study of the skies. Remember, their only tools were the naked eye and the fundamentals of arithmetic, which they also developed. But they were the inspiration of the great Greek philosophers that followed.